The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
Probably about 6 months ago, I bought a property in another city, and I thought it might be interesting to talk about it on the show today. So I actually want to be the guest today. So I've actually brought on a guest host. I want to introduce Chris Colgan to the audience. Chris has actually been on the show before. Chris, you were on episode 8, right when we were first getting started, probably a little bit over a year ago. And you told us a story about your two rental properties. And so how's everything going? Any change in the last year?
No, I still have those two rentals. I have had a few challenges. Both of them had the HVACs go out, which was a little challenging, but you know,
both properties.
Yeah, both properties. Wow. Yeah. But, and one of them, the tenant moved out and I got a new tenant, but yeah, you know what? They're condos. They got new HVAC units now. So
now you shouldn't have anything to worry about for a while.
Yeah, I should be fine for a while.
That's good.
Yeah.
So, all right. So Chris, I want to hand over the reins to you and let you interview me. So I'll be the guest and you be the host and let's find out, you know, about how I found this property and how I researched the town and, you know, whatever else we can discover. So Chris, it's your show. Take over.
Yeah, sounds good. So I guess my first question is, you know, you bought this property. It's not here where you live. I mean, how far away is it from you?
It's probably about an hour and a half, maybe a little bit more away. And I wanted to buy a rental property around here. And we've talked about this on the show before that where we live in Northern Virginia, it's just really, really expensive. I mean, it's a good market to live in, and it's a good market to buy in if you're going to live in a house because prices appreciate around here. It's a really good market to have an appreciating house. But as far as a cash flowing property, it's really difficult, if not impossible, to find those properties around here. And so I think in other areas, it's easier to find those properties. So what I started doing is I just started looking further and further out. I basically got out a map and just looked at some towns that were half hour away to see if those properties would cash flow. It wasn't much better. I got an hour away. It wasn't much better, and just kept kind of heading a little bit further and further out. And then I found a town that where just looking at ballpark numbers of what things were listed at and what they were renting for, it just seemed like it would make sense where I could get things to cash flow.
Right. So like, so let's say you identify the town. So what's the next step? Do you go on the internet and search properties? Do you drive out and just look around at different neighborhoods? I mean, how did you go about making this is the decision I want to look at, the place
so
I want to be?
What I did is I did drive out there just to get a feel for the area. I wasn't specifically looking for a house. I was just trying to get a feel for what the area was like out there. So I drove around, and then when I got home and I felt comfortable that it looked like a good area, it didn't look like it was in the middle of a war zone. It seemed like it was a good place, a nice place. Maybe not necessarily a place I would live, but
right. It
seemed like a good place for a rental. So what I did is I did some research on the area, and every county has what's called an offering document, and they use this to raise money. So every county sells bonds on Wall Street where they're trying to raise money to build new schools or parks or just improve the county or whatever. And so they have these offering documents, which is like a big, they're probably 50 or 100 pages, and it tells you all kinds of information about the county, the employment information, the employment outlook, who the big employers are, what the average income is. So I found the offering document for this county, and it looked decent. It looked like things were growing. The population was growing. The other site that I use to get research is an awesome site. It's local.niche.com. And you can go in there, and I'll put the link, or Chris, I should have you put the link on the website for this. If you go to rentalincomepodcast.com/episode57, I'll have the link for that site. But it's a great site where you can type in any town name, and it gives you all kinds of great information, like what percentage of the population owns, what percentage rents, who the, I guess, like what the average rent is, what the average income is, what the schools are graded. So it's a really great way. So everything checked out, looking at the offering document, looking at niche.com, everything seemed to look good. So I said, okay, well, this is a good area. Like, I'm comfortable with this area.
Okay, so you definitely did your homework.
Yeah.
So, all right, so now you've identified, I definitely want to be here. So what are the next steps? I mean, did you go on Craigslist, Zillow? Did you call maybe a local real estate professional? I mean, what were the next steps
The next thing is I wanted to actually identify properties. And the thing with the internet is that you kind of have a false sense of security, because you can look online, you can go on Zillow, you can see some listings, and you can feel like you know everything. But I know from being an agent that agents have a lot more information that
And a lot of the information is not exactly accurate. It's not up to date.
Right. Know? Exactly. So I wanted someone that was local, that really knew this area. And so what I did, and this might be hard for someone to do that doesn't have access to the MLS, but what I did, you know, being an agent, I have access to the MLS, and I ran a report on all of the rentals that had rented in this area. And I was looking to see if there was an agent or a couple of agents that had a lot of those listings, because I figured that was probably a good property manager. And so I identified a couple of agents that seemed to do a lot of business. And then I looked at the sales, and I was looking to see if there was an agent that sold a lot of houses.
Sure.
And I kind of matched them up, and I found an agent that did a lot of rentals and also sold a lot of houses. And awesome. I figured that might be a good agent, because I can talk to her as an investor. I figured that might be an investor-friendly agent. So I found a couple of agents. I called a couple of agents and interviewed them, and just to kind of get a feel for how well they knew the market, how friendly they were, if they had a good personality that was going to jive with me. And I found an agent that he really really impressed me. He really seemed to know his stuff.
Now, did they point you in the direction of the neighborhood you bought in, or is that a neighborhood that you kind of had your eye on, or anything like that?
You know, I really hadn't gotten neighborhood level. I was just kind of looking big picture.
Sure.
But that's really what I wanted the agent for, to kind of hone me in a little bit, to kind of give me some guidance.
So it was all about the numbers. Like, hey, what's the price compared to what it's renting?
Right.
That's why you use like a local person to help you.
Exactly. Gotcha. Right. Yeah. Cause I wanted someone that was going to be able to. And so basically the number I was looking for is I wanted something that was going to rent using the 1% rule. So for anyone that doesn't know, the 1% rule is that to make money on a rental, it's got to rent for 1% of the sales price. So for a house that's $100,000, it needs to rent for $1,000 a month or more for you to make any money. Because anything less than that, the numbers aren't going to work.
And like, yeah, it's like some areas get really tricky, like Manhattan, you're not going to find that, right?
Right. So Manhattan isn't going to cash flow. But what I did would work in Manhattan. So if someone lives in Manhattan and they want to buy real estate, if you get in the car and you drive for an hour or two, you're going to get to a town that's going to be like the town that I found.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, in Manhattan, you are never going to be able to find a property that cash flows.
So, to take me back, so you're looking, so you've identified the area, you've identified an agent. You know, how many properties do you look at before you define that this is the one I want to write an offer on?
Okay, yeah. Okay. So what we did is I went up there on a Saturday. My wife and I went up there.
Sure.
And we had picked out three properties that we wanted to look at. The first property that we looked at, it was a nice looking house, but I should have picked this up from the listing, but I missed it in there. But the house didn't have AC. And around here, it gets really hot in the summer.
Yeah, it gets about 100 sometimes.
Yeah, right. And I just figured no one is going to want to live in a house with no AC. So if we get tenants, they're going to live there because they have no place else to go.
Sure, yeah.
So that one I crossed off right away. The next house was a short sale. And it was in decent shape. It probably just needed carpet and paint. But it was – so, Chris, you're an agent. Maybe can you just explain what a short sale is for anyone that doesn't know that term?
Yeah, pretty much it's the owner of the property owes more than what the house is worth. And so they're basically trying to get an offer for less than what they owe on the property. The tricky thing is it has to be approved. So if the owner, for say, has a bunch of money in the bank, the bank's most likely not going to take a lower offer. Right. They're going to say you need to pay your payment. But if the owner is truly struggling, then the bank may be willing to take a lower offer than what they owe and just be done with the property. But just keep in mind, they can take anywhere from 3 to 6 months to even get approved.
Right. And yeah. They're better. You know, I know 4 or 5 years ago, these things had a really, really low success rate of closing.
Yeah, they've gotten a lot better.
Yeah. What do you think the percentage is of houses that actually close that are short sales now?
It's probably pretty good. It's about 60-70%. That would just be my guess.
Okay.
I think the main reason, the main thing is the buyer has to be very patient.
Right.
And understand you're going to get a good deal, but you're going to have to just hold out and wait till you find out that you're going to get it or not.
Right.
So.
And so I fit that bill. I was willing to wait. The place seemed like it was in decent shape, except for the carpet and paint.
Right.
So I liked that place, and we put an offer in on that place.
Okay, how did that go?
So we actually, before I tell you that, so we looked at the third place then, and that place was actually very similar, just needed carpet and paint, and we actually ended up putting an offer in on that place.
Now, what type of sale was that?
That was also a short sale.
Okay, so two short sales.
So I figured, out of the two, probably only one of them would close.
Sure.
And I felt like I was probably going to be able to get approved for two mortgages. So I said, okay, well, let's get approved. And so that was no problem. But so we put in the two offers, and the first offer, the agent just didn't respond.
Shocker. Yeah. That happens a lot. Yeah.
You know, it's like we sent the offer in and like just nothing. And
wow.
Yeah. And it took the agent 2 weeks to get back to us. And when the agent responded, she said, hey, we have another offer and go ahead and submit your highest and best.
Right. So they basically just messed you around for 2 weeks.
Right. And so they used our offer to get a higher offer. Yeah. And so I wasn't willing to negotiate that anymore, like that. Yeah. And also I had, being that I have access to the MLS, I looked up to see how many short sales this agent had sold to see what kind of her track record was. And this agent had never closed on a short sale.
So they didn't know what they were doing.
Right. She had a bunch of short sales listed, but they all expired. And
sure.
So,
yeah.
And so then the other offer we put in, we submitted it probably like 10 grand below list price, and they accepted it right away.
Perfect.
Submitted it to the bank. Everything was cool. Things seemed like they were moving along. And then maybe a month later, I got a call from my agent saying that the sellers had declared bankruptcy.
So now the house is in the bankruptcy.
Right. And so it's gonna take time, I guess, to go through bankruptcy.
Sure,
so
yeah.
we couldn't do anything. So that deal was dead.
So now you're back to square one.
Right. Back to square one. But, I felt like I knew this area because we spent a day out there looking around.
Right, you took some action too, which most people don't ever do. Right,
exactly. And I felt like I was comfortable with the area. I didn't know every place. I didn't know every neighborhood, but I felt comfortable with it. So a few weeks later, another place popped up, that a brand new listing. And from the pictures, the place looked great. I mean, it looked like it was ready to go. It looked like a nice place, 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, everything looked great. So I wanted to move on it right away. I didn't want it to sit there. So I called my agent and said, hey, this place just came on the market today. Can you just run over there and take a look at it? So he said, no problem. We're going to, I'll run over there this afternoon. And he called me from the house. He took some pictures and everything looked great. I mean, the place was fine. It was in great shape. So
I have a bad feeling about this.
No, everything actually worked out. And so we submitted an offer. I think we came in 10 grand low and they countered back. Coming down $5,000.
Okay. And I would have paid in the middle. Yeah.
I would have paid full price for this place, but I said, you know, why not try to negotiate?
Yeah.
And, so we worked out a price, $5,000 below list price, and everything was fine. So
perfect. So you got it.
So
this is the place you bought.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, yeah. Everything was good. And so the next step then is we did a home inspection. So
I was going to ask you, did you do any inspections? You know, so yeah. You put in there a home inspection.
Yeah.
So how long did you ask for?
I think it was, we asked for maybe 10 days.
Because you had 10 days from the time that your contract got signed
off. Okay. But the inspector ended up getting over there maybe 3 days later.
Okay.
And he went over there. And so I hadn't seen the house at this point. And the day of the home inspection, I couldn't get up there. So I'm just going off pictures. And I figured it wasn't a big deal if I wasn't there for the home inspection because,
right.
I mean, I don't know anything about construction.
They're very boring.
Yeah. And there's no real value that I can add to anything. So the inspector went up there. He was great. He took a ton of pictures and sent back a report and everything was pretty good with the house. I mean, there was some minor things, mm-hmm. But everything looked good. I mean, it was ready to go. But you know, you always got to negotiate and you always got to ask for
sure.
For something.
Might as well, right?
And there was like a window where the seal was broken, so it was kind of
water
fogged.
Was coming in or fogged up.
Yeah, and so I asked for that window to be replaced, and they came back and said, "Hey, we're not going to replace that window, but we'll give you a credit at closing for $750.
Oh, wow.
So I said, hey, that's great.
A new window is what, $200? Yeah.
Right. I'm like, that's great. So what we ended up doing is I didn't replace that window because I figured to rent it out. It didn't really matter. I used that money to get the carpet steam cleaned.
Awesome.
And there were a couple of minor things that I just had a handyman go in there and fix.
Yeah, so I was going to ask you next. So you close on the property. I mean, how quickly do things move, you know, from there? What do you do after you close on it?
So this is the greatest part. So we closed from the time we put the contract into close was about 30 days.
Okay.
And we got to closing. We closed at 10 a.m. And while I was at closing, my agent sent his assistant out to go to the house and take some pictures. And by the time we were done with closing, they had the house on the market.
Oh,
the pictures were done.
You were moving quick.
Yeah.
It was, so you hired the agent to list the home as a rental?
Yeah, okay. Because like this agent had experience both with rentals. Like he's a property manager and also an agent. So so I had them go ahead and take care of everything with the property management side. So they got it listed. We got a renter in there. It took, I think, like 2 or 3 weeks, and we got a good renter,
awesome.
Good tenants. So they moved in. They've been there for a few months now, and everything's been going great.
So now, did you hire a property manager?
Well, yeah. So the agent is the property manager.
Okay, so that agent that you did property manager.
Right.
Okay, so, you know, do you recommend someone gets a property manager, especially since this property you said not near you, right? I mean, you could go there in a day or something.
Right.
But, yeah.
You know, I was a little bit hesitant to manage it myself just because of the distance. But I don't know. I mean, for next year, I wouldn't get rid of the property manager now.
Sure.
Just because he's already got the relationship with the tenants and everything. But I think for next year, I would consider managing it myself. Because, I mean, the truth is, if something were to break in the house, I'm not going to fix it. I don't know how to fix things.
Yeah,
So I'm going to just call somebody. Like, you know, I'll tell you, with my other rental, just today we had a plumbing problem. Like there was some leak under the sink. And I mean, I don't know how to fix that. I just called a plumber. He went over there and he fixed it.
Yeah. Nor should you're not a plumber. You're a real estate investor.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think that if, it would be the same thing. So the distance doesn't really matter. So I think for next year, I would really consider doing it myself, just, you know, to save the 10%.
Yeah. This thing kind of sounds like from scratch, where you found the property, you got it rented and all that. Would you ever consider buying like just a turnkey property where someone maybe already put the tenant in the house and you're buying it like that? What are your thoughts on those?
You know, I really have mixed feelings about the turnkey, because I like finding the deal. I like negotiating the contracts.
That's
like
the fun
me,
part.
Yeah, that's fun. So I don't know. I think turnkeys are a great way for someone that maybe doesn't have the interest in doing that, or maybe if you want to diversify into another market, say if you're going to buy a place across the country, it's maybe not practical for you to go out there to look at places. But you know, if you can buy a turnkey, the renter is in place. I think that's maybe a good way to go for some people.
Yeah. But maybe someone that doesn't want to, you know, do it as, you know, hands on as you did. I think, like you said, I think it's fun going out and finding the property and you learn about the area.
I love it. And now that I know that area, I think buying another place would be even easier. I'm looking for other places out there, but I don't know. But you know, as far as a turnkey, maybe down the road at some point, maybe I would diversify to buying a turnkey. And I did do a lot of research, because I did really consider that for a while. And I talked to a bunch of turnkey companies. And the thing with turnkeys that you really got to watch out for is there's a lot of kind of shyster companies out there that say they're turnkey companies. And, you know, I was able to weed some of them out by talking on the phone to them. There was one company in particular that if I was going to buy a turnkey, I would use them.
Okay.
And, so if anyone's thinking about a turnkey, if you contact me, I'll give you their info. I don't want to put it out here on the podcast, but my contact information is on the website, rentalincomepodcast.com. Just shoot me an email and I'll give you the info. That's something maybe down the road I'd consider.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like just from us talking, the whole process was very easy for you.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people get scared or something, but it was a very easy process.
Yeah, it was very, very easy. And I would really recommend anyone that lives in an expensive area to do this. And, you know, even if you live in an area where it's maybe the numbers make sense, it's a good cash flow market, maybe if you do this, you could even make even a bigger return if you were to go out to a smaller town. So I would definitely recommend this for anyone. And, you know, it's been, you know, 6 months now or so, and everything's going good. I mean,
awesome.
We've had no issues. So I'm real happy with everything.
Perfect, man.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I guess that wraps
it up. That's it. I have another question for you for your podcast.
Yeah. Well, Chris, thank you so much for coming out and interviewing me. And this was fun to.
No problem. Thank you for having me, man. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you want to hear more about Chris, you're on episode 8, so you can go back
and hear
your story. And if anyone wants to contact you, if you're looking for a property in Northern Virginia, Chris is a great realtor. He's definitely someone that I would personally recommend. Chris, how could someone contact you if they wanted to reach out to you?
Yeah, just follow me on Twitter at Chris Colgan, ChrisColgan, and just send me a message on there.
Okay. And your website, you have a website?
Yeah, it's ColganRealEstate.com, and has all the listings in the DC area on it.
Awesome.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back with a new episode next Tuesday. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first 3 audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.